Good morning. Would you please open your Bibles to the first chapter of the book of Romans? I've been assigned the topic of vile passions, which is in the 26th verse of this chapter. But I've said this from the pulpit before. Most of you have heard the rule. They said the three most important rules in real estate is location, location, location. And I've said from here that when it comes to the Bible, and studying whatever subject we're studying, the three most important rules is context, context, context. As we want to try to determine why such subjects are even being discussed, and why who's it's being spoken to, and so forth and so on, because all those are important things in any subject that we're discussing. And this subject is a bit uncomfortable as we go through it. Whatever level of discomfort you're feeling out there, just multiply that times 100, and I'm feeling it that much more talking about this subject. But we shouldn't be that uncomfortable with it. It's real. It's something we may like to avoid discussing, the Apostle Paul, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, found it needful to discuss it. For those of you who are good Bible students, you know, because you've studied this before, the first chapter of the book of Romans, Paul discusses, in essence, why the Gentiles need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then in the second chapter, the whole second chapter discusses why the Jews need the gospel of Jesus Christ. The key verse, I believe, for me, is the 16th verse of chapter 1. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So within the gospel of Jesus Christ is revealed salvation. It's all in there. Verse 18 tells us, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So salvation is revealed in the gospel. But he talks about the wrath of God being revealed. Now, most of you could quote verses that talk about the judgment day, where the wrath of God will be unleashed. Verses like 2 Peter 3:7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. There will come a day when God's wrath will be totally unleashed. But even now, there's a, if I can word it this way, sort of a foretaste of God's wrath, a sampling of God's wrath that's being revealed even as we speak. So what I'd like to do is read, beginning in verses 18 through the rest of the chapter, and then we'll come back and analyze it. We got this week and next week. As always in any class, we welcome questions and comments, but in an attempt to try to get all this in 2 weeks, I probably today are just going to more or less plow through this and explain certain things, and hopefully that will answer some questions, and then spend most of next week discussing what needs to be discussed. So Paul's purpose here is to tell these people the purpose of the gospel, because in it is revealed the salvation of God. Chapter 1, the rest of chapter 1 deals with why the Gentiles, it's just anybody who's not a Jew. That's all that means. Why they need it in chapter 2 is why the Jews themselves need the gospel of Christ. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Quite a list. Let's just plow right through it. We've already mentioned the fact that almost everybody knows that there is going to be a day of judgment when God's wrath is totally unleashed. But right here it says in verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed. That's current tense, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. So the first couple of verses tell us why this is, why God is angry. Because, it says, men hold this ungodliness, they justify what is ungodly and unrighteous. In some of your versions, if you're reading from the New King James or the New International, it says because they suppress. King James says hold, which means to hold back. They suppress the truth. They stifle it. They reject it. Because there are certain things that are revealed outside the scriptures. And that is in God's creation. Because that which is, in verse 19, may be known of God is manifest in them. And that's an interesting phrase. There's a lot that can be known about God by what's in man. It's manifest in them. Manifest means open to the sight, visible, to make clear, to make known, obvious. Man was created in God's image. There's certain things about us that are certain qualities or characteristics that man has that God has. And a real simple, obvious one is most people know right from wrong. There's a thing we call the conscience, and Paul talks about that later in chapter 2. Instinctively, man knows certain things are wrong. Because even if he was guilty of everything in this list, you don't like it if somebody steals from you and you feel offended. You feel cheated. That's wrong. Because God put that in us. It's a character quality that he has. He knows right from wrong. And man does too, instinctively. And we'll talk about that probably more next week. And then he goes on. There's not only that, there's the creation itself. David, the 19th Psalm. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Just the universe. The universe screams, God exists. How could you not see the sunrise, the sunset, the stars, the moon? Do you not know intuitively that there's something bigger out there than us? You think that just happened? The Apostle Paul's making the case here that there are certain things that can be known of God outside the Bible. The Bible gives us a lot more. But he's talking about the Gentiles that didn't have the recorded word of God. But what they had was sufficient, because he goes on down here to say that they are without excuse. Because this had been revealed. But when man rejects that, fails to listen to it, fails to see that all the evidence around us in the creation that declares that God is God. He is a creator. This didn't just happen. But when man rejects that, fails to make the correct observations about it, this makes God angry. It says his wrath is being revealed. And this is one of the reasons why. Then he goes on. Because that when they knew God, there was just enough evidence to make that known, that there is a God. Verse 21. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It makes God angry when man's not thankful to him for not only providing all this sustenance that we can live off of, but not recognizing who gave it. We've heard the verse, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But the difference between the just recognizes who gave it and gives thanks for it. The unjust doesn't. They fail to glorify God by thanking him and giving him the glory that's due him for providing all this, and then they just become totally vain in their thoughts. And of course, what does that lead to? They think they're smarter than God. They became fools. And this leads to idolatry. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now, this is intriguing to me. If they don't think there's a God, maybe they're holding this animal. My favorite meat is beef. So this animal that you're getting your meat from, they begin to worship that. David tells us that God made man a little lower than the angels. And man makes himself lower than the animals. Man elevates the animal above himself. And yet nature tells you that's dumb. When was the last time you went to a zoo that the animals put together and looked at all the humans in it? When was the last time you went to a hospital that the animals built and got an operation? Man is elevating an animal above himself, which goes against nature. This is part of the evidence that God has provided that God exists. And man is a little lower than the angels, but he's the crowning achievement of God's creation. We was created in his image. And they're elevating an animal above themselves. And making that into their God. That's who they're giving the glory to and being thankful to. This is why God is angry. This is why his wrath is being revealed. He's being rejected. He's being ignored. His creation is thought more highly of than him, the Creator. And in essence, those verses there say this is why God is angry. Why he's revealing this wrath. The next few verses tell us how. How he's revealing his anger. In the next few verses, you'll see this phrase in verse 24. God gave them up. It's also in verse 26, God gave them up. In verse 28, God gave them over. These verses are going to tell us how God is revealing his wrath against this kind of behavior. This word, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. I'll leave that to John. Paradidomai or something like this. This word is that we get the three-word phrase, gave them up. It means to give or hand over, to deliver. So God's not sending fire and brimstone down from heaven. He can. We know that he can. We've seen it. But he's simply leaving man to his own desires. God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For you Bible students, in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, You may remember this. Turn over there, if you will, for just a quick second. There was a problem in this church at Corinth that Paul heard about through the grapevine. The people at Corinth had written him a letter asking him a variety of questions. He addressed those things that he had asked, that they had written him about. But this he had heard about through the grapevine. 1 Corinthians 5, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that ye have done this deed, that he had done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and here's the real verse I'm wanting to get after, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, and for the spirit, or that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. That word delivered is the same word in Romans that says gave up. God gave them up. God didn't give up on them. He gave them up. He delivered them. For the same reason that the Apostle Paul says to do for the church to do this over here. Deliver them back into the captivity of the kingdom of Satan. You remember the children of Israel? They got out of the captivity. They were so horrible having to make the bricks down there in Egypt. It was terrible. They wanted out there so bad, and they finally got out there, and they got to wandering around out there. They wanted to go back because there was better food back there. They wanted to go back into captivity. The Apostle Paul says over here, we're going to deliver them back into captivity with the hope that maybe living in like that will bring them to their senses. That's what happened really with the prodigal son. He wanted his inheritance, went out and squandered it. And while he's feeding pigs into a Jew, that would have been pretty degrading. It says he came to himself and began to realize the servants in my father's house has it better than what I have it here in this pigsty. So Paul says in Romans, this is God's way of dealing with this. He doesn't have to send down lightning, fire, and brimstone. You like that captivity? Go back in it. That is their punishment. That's way, God's way of showing his wrath. You want that? There's no holds barred here. And then we read the list of all these things. It all starts with rejecting God, not being thankful. So God says, okay, have at it. Another verse I want you to go to with me is Mark, the 7th chapter. And I said earlier, context is always important, so I was just going to read these, but let's go over there so you can get the context. Mark, the 7th chapter, let's go down to, I'm really wanting verse 21, but the Pharisees ask why the disciples eat bread without washing their hands. And Jesus gives them a little sermon on that's their hypocrisy on those kinds of things. Let's go down to verse 17. And when he entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you perceive that whatever thing from without entereth into man, it cannot defile him? So if you eat when you didn't wash your hands, it's not the germs that's going to make you a corrupt person, because it entered into the heart, but not into the belly. Excuse me, it entereth not into the heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed all evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. Back in Romans, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. Just exactly what Jesus described over there. God is in essence saying, maybe you'll see, just maybe you'll see, this is really isn't a good thing to wallow in. Because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He could strike them down with lightning, fire and brimstone, but he wants them to be saved. But he's not happy. He's saying, okay, have it your way. He's delivering them, like Paul said over in Corinthians, back into the kingdom of darkness with the hope that they'll come to their senses. Dishonoring their bodies among themselves because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They preferred a lie over the truth. Which one of you ladies out there would go in and exchange your diamonds for a piece of glass? Why would you exchange truth for a lie? That's what it says that they did. Verse 25, they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Now we reach our verse. The word vile, and you that have the other versions may even say it this way, simply means dishonorable. Dishonorable passions, or passions of dishonor. It's actually the same word that we saw up in verse 24. And it says dishonoring their own bodies. That's the verb form. This is the adjective form of that Greek word. Dishonorable passions. Webster's defines vile as morally base or impure, sinful. This is God showing his wrath. Okay, fine. Not much different than the children of Israel just wanted a king so bad just to be like all the other nations around him. And in essence, God said, okay, that's not what I would advise, but seeing that you won't listen to reasoning, let me know how that works out for you. And it didn't work out real good for Israel. So God's letting these people in his wrath because he's not willing that any should perish. Fine, have at it. And maybe, just maybe, after wallowing in that, you'll finally come to your senses. Vile passions. Case in point, verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Yes, he's talking about lesbianism. Another case in point. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of error which was meet or due. I said earlier, if you're uncomfortable out there, try being up here. But it's not like we don't know about it. It's, you can't read the news or listen to the news or read the news. Gay marriage and all this is being talked about. But this, what we're trying to do here is find out what God says about it. Randy. Absolutely, and that's why I was pointing this out. We know from his chosen people, that's how he handled it. I mean, sometimes he even struck them dead. Uzzah reached up and touched the ark and was struck dead. But often he sent them into captivity to try to bring them to their senses. In the sixth chapter, it talks about you're a slave to whoever you serve, whether righteousness, or you can be a slave to unrighteousness. And they are captive to it. And this is where God's dealing with it right now. Again, there's going to be a day of judgment when his wrath is totally unleashed. But right now, because he's not willing that any should perish, they're being punished. They don't know it. But with the hope of, after wallowing in this, that someday you might come to your senses.
Group that worshiping Jesus is not
agree more. Because even if I was using the illustration a while ago of man elevating something that is obviously beneath him, but even somebody that's on par with him, a fellow human being. I've never known one yet except Jesus that wasn't subject to error. Yeah, Mary wasn't sinless. Mary didn't die for our sins. I couldn't agree more. But it's the same thought process. Ultimately, they're rejecting God because they don't want to be under his rule. So they make a God that, since they made him, they can make that God make rules that will accommodate their life. Not at all.
Choice. People choose salvation or not. They choose to do the things that they do. And you can always choose not to do these things. It's always up to somebody's choice. God has no pleasure in these things. He has judgment.
And again, I just want to emphasize that this isn't the only sins that's talked about. This is just talking about why non-Jews, the rest of the world, the rest of people who didn't have the revealed word of God, as did the Jews. So they didn't maybe know nearly as much about God as the Jews did, because they had his revealed word. But there was enough revealed to them through nature for them to know that certain things are wrong. Because they wouldn't like it. That's why when Jesus said, treat other people the way you want to be treated, it's amazing how that summarizes so much. Would you like somebody lying to you? Well, don't lie to them. Do you like somebody stealing from you? Well, don't steal from them. Because if you committed all these things, you wouldn't like it if it was done to you. Because there's something innate in us that tells us that. That's unacceptable behavior. Even in the quote-unquote gay community today, here in our country, and how that's being promoted and advanced and everything. It's not right. It's not fair. And I think, well, really, where do you get that idea? Where do you get that concept of what's right and wrong? Judging by the way you lived, I didn't know if you knew anything about right and wrong. But suddenly you feel like you're being wronged? Really, where did that idea come from? Gerald. Sure is. And again, context, context, context. Paul's going through right here why the non-Jews of the world needs the gospel of Christ. Because what's in the gospel of Christ? The plan of salvation. But then he goes into chapter 2 and spends a whole chapter why the Jews, who had the revealed word of God, why they need it. You ought to wait till you get to that list of sins. Alan. Next week, what I want to get into, because it is so prevalent in our society today, I want to emphasize again, Paul's saying that's why they need the gospel. The gospel can save them. It is not an unpardonable sin. They can be redeemed from this, and so can the Jews. Like I say, the next chapter goes into quite a list of what they're guilty of. And then he concludes in chapter 3 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that's why he's not ashamed of the gospel, because therein is the power of God unto salvation. We'll discuss more of it next week. Thank you.